Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back on a Wednesday, Muad'Dib's.
It is Wednesday, John.
We're talking
about... I had one more thing to say about Taylor Swift.
Go on.
No, I'm joking.
Okay.
I just want to make an allusion to a thing that the people will never hear.
All right. Well, what they will hear is content about minute 147 through 148 of Dune Part 2 by Denis Villeneuve.
That is true.
We were left off with the stunning revelation that Shaddam will be lucky to keep his head, and that also Paul's taking his daughter to be his wife. And Chani is kind of
thrilled.
Given the old 1-2 and left knocked back.
Yeah. Astonished, I think, is an appropriate word.
Yeah. Flabbergasted, even.
Yeah, yeah. Flummoxed.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Yeah. I think the well's dry.
Yeah. Also, the bit, we hit three, we're good.
Yep. Rule of three for comedy.
Yep.
Paul continues his, marriage demand. He goes,
with some reassurances.
Yes. He goes, she will remain safe and we will rule together over the empire. So the camera, thankfully, shoots over to Irulan, and we see it, or at least I saw a surprising lack of emotion here. Lack of response. She's just kind of like stone faced looking at him. Maybe the emotion here is, what the fuck are you talking about?
That, but also remember, Geis Helen Moheim said that there is one way that the Carinos stay relevant, and it is through Irulan. And I think Irulan's come to realize, all right, shit, it's either Fade, who gets horny watching his uncle get stabbed in the neck, or Paul, who at least says, I'm safe? Question mark?
Yeah, I guess. This.
So I think for her, it's like,
Well, yeah, this weird bald guy or this strange guy out in the desert. Those are her two options.
What are they saying?
Listen, I thought dating was tough in Atlanta.
What are they saying? They say to wash yourself, you scrub your ass with sand, my lord. That is what they say.
That is the life she has to look forward to here.
Scrub your dirty ass with sand.
Chani, on the other hand, is looking like she just got the wind knocked out of her.
Mm-hmm. But she's very quick to like recompose herself with a deep breath and like continue her stare down, but now she's like staring Irulan real hard.
Yeah, and like we get some eye twitches.
Yep.
From her, which is great.
She's sharpening her Chris Knife eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And Paul continues, this time speaking directly to Shaddam, but you have to answer for my father. And again, we get a round robin of profile shots when he says this.
Specifically of Gurney and Jessica.
Yeah. Jessica, by the way, we've seen her in minutes past.
Mm-hmm.
But we've really just seen like chest up shots of her.
Sure.
We get to see kind of a wider bit now.
Well, that's not true. Because when Geis Helen Moheim first saw her, as they were all herded into the room, we had a full body Jessica because we got to see the like torso and head turn.
Fair. This particular shot, though, she looks like she is fucking straight chilling in this chair, dude. Like, I know
Jessica had a gummy about 30 minutes ago, so she's just doing just fine.
Now, I know that she is heavily pregnant right now.
Very.
And she's sitting in this chair because of that.
Yep.
She's sitting in the chair in this manner because of that. But it looks like she's just like fucking lounging in this chair.
Yeah. So me after Thanksgiving, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, no shade at all. Get comfortable. It looked like a fairly stiff wooden chair.
Well, we know that it is, and it's a very hefty wooden chair because
we didn't see cushions. We did not see cushions.
We didn't see cushions, but we know that it's a very, you know, stiff and hefty chair because when it was brought out from wherever the fuck the Fremen found it, it had that big old thud when it hit the ground.
So Shaddam, after we see Jessica straight chilling, we get a shot back to Shaddam. And he starts to respond.
Cuts over to Jessica. She's just got a cigarette and fucking shades and just chilling in the chair.
Absolutely, man. That is exactly what she's doing. He kind of like tempers his anger a little bit. You know, he composes himself. He goes, "Do you know why I killed him?"
Good because Christopher Walken pause.
I'm not doing the voice, but I will do the pauses.
Yeah.
"Do you know why I killed him? Because he was a man who believes in the rules of the heart. But the heart is not meant to rule. In other words, your father was a weak man."
Pulling from Irulan's words here, Shaddam just absolutely shitting on the man that he saw as a son.
Yes.
Absolutely just dumping on this man's memory.
And there's so much this like vitriol in those words, you know, and it's hard to believe that, it's hard to not read them as jealousy.
Well, no, that's exactly what it was because we got that from Vladimir.
He's the Emperor's a jealous man.
The Atreides voice is rising and the Emperor is a jealous man.
Very good monologue. I think that is the Emperor's like main monologue in this movie. It's not a back and forth like we got with Vlad.
No, I think, because there's nothing else that's said after the fight. No. So, and this is the one thing that I think really saves Christopher Walken's casting as Shaddam because he does a very good job here. Sure. And I think this is a line that Christopher Walken can just deliver really well. That said, I still stand behind my Michael Shannon and or Jude Law's Shaddam.
Well, I was going to say, like, could you picture Mark Strong doing this? And just how good that would be.
Oh, be fantastic.
Yeah. I don't disagree that Christopher Walken did a good job here, but there are still much better options.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's we listen back a couple weeks from here to hear the full casting decisions or casting wish list.
Yep.
For Shaddam, we won't get into it now, but yes, this was a very good monologue. The Walken pauses were put in the right spots, and it put the appropriate emphasis on the correct syllables.
Shut the fuck up.
And Paul's just absorbing this. You know, you can kind of see in his face, he's just like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still real fucking pissed at you. But Jessica softens. Because we get a close up of her, and it almost looks like she's trying to hold back some tears.
He just called the person who she loved the most a weak man.
Yeah,
and she's don't you dare.
Yeah, no, I get it. But it's like, okay, that's the thing that like really gets to her. And I think I'm going to defend not having the time jump very briefly here.
What?
Yeah. I think not having the time jump makes Shaddam's speech about Leto more impactful to Jessica's emotions. Because it's, you know, we're still less than a year from the attack. I think realistically, in fact, I know realistically, most people don't get over the death of a loved one very quickly.
If ever.
So, yeah, if ever. So for this to be like a pretty fresh stabbing the wound.
Yeah.
It makes it more impactful for Jessica.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And Paul, you picked up on a little bit of a smirk from him, right here?
I didn't really see it as much of a smirk as more of like a kind of tightening his lips and just getting ready to throw down.
The emotion that was conveyed to me.
Or maybe it was more of like a, okay, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like the words that the Emperor just said is maybe what he expected or possibly wanted to hear. Because I think it gives him the justification that he needs
to kill this old man.
Well, to continue forward.
Yeah.
You know, had the Emperor been groveling at this point?
Or not even groveling, but just remorseful that, yeah, he fucked up in killing Leto. Yeah,
it would have taken wind out of Paul's sails here.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's, you know, doubling down, standing on business, Paul's just like, great, thank you. Thank you for the justification. Now we get to, you know, have a fight. And that is what starts to happen. But we don't get to it. We don't get to it. All we hear is Paul say, stand. And that is the end of the minute.
In the place where you live.
That's right.
Now face north. Think about direction and wonder why.
The Great White North?
No. R.E.M.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Okay.
I was calling back to the thing.
Yeah, to the thing earlier. From Monday. Yeah,
it's a callback, John, as we referenced things that we did earlier.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's comedy.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can't believe I actually defended not having the time
skip. I know, this is very weird.
Yeah.
I may edit that whole section out. Just for consistency's sake. That is all I have to say. So I want to talk about the lead up to the fight, but I don't want to do it right now. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to keep that for tomorrow and Friday.
Well, I mean, that's what those minutes are, the lead up to the fight. All so. Right,
so let's get into it.
On tomorrow's episode, not now.
Yeah.
Okay. The way you said let's get into it then was like, all right, let's get into it.
Well, so, I can see that. For you and I, yes, let's get into it now.
Yeah.
For the dear listener, is going to be tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue Sky, Gmail. You got it.
You can find us online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll be back tomorrow to get ready for this fight.
Let's get ready. All right, see ya.